This is Phil Farron, and I am driving home. It's Thursday today. It is episode 368. Gonna be at 380 soon, 370 soon, and then 380, and then 400. And 8 years worth of podcast will be 416. I should have done that faster, but it's the end of the week. My brain isn't necessarily firing on all cylinders. And, well, anyways, it's been a good week at work. Got a lot of good things done. Got projects that are wrapping up, all kind of coming to a head at the same time. Making progress on a bunch of fronts. So it's good. If I can just make it home in my car today. I've got a little shimmy in the front end of my car. And I'm really thinking it's tires. I've already had the mechanic take a look at it, just make sure the front end isn't going to fall off. And he said, no, it looks fine, because I told him it's kind of wiggling a little bit in the front. He said, no, it looks fine. So tomorrow morning, I'm getting up early, I'm taking the little buggy in, I'm going to have him put two new tires on the front end and balance them, and hopefully that'll take care of that problem, and then we'll move on to other things. So that's good. And that's everything for work. I'm working on book 5. I had hoped to get about 10,000 words a week in. That's a big goal. But this week I just got slammed. I had to run sound. I was offered the opportunity to run sound at church Sunday night, which I normally don't do. And so that broke up my schedule and took about 2 hours out of my schedule. And where I normally write 3,200 words on a Saturday when I'm really cranking, on a Sunday when I'm really cranking, and then I come back and I edit that up on Sunday night so I'm ready to go on Monday, I got my 3,000 words, but didn't have a chance to edit it. So then I had to come around Monday night and edit it, and that stole an hour out of Monday night, so I didn't make my target Monday night. Made my target Tuesday night. Then I had to run sound on Wednesday night again. So I lost that, and then tonight, we have some friends that their father died in its visitation, and my wife told me, I just looked at her. I said, oh, sweetie, I'm getting back. She said, well, I'll go. You don't have to go, but of course, I may have to go. I should probably go, but I'm losing tomorrow as well, because I got a little excursion tomorrow, and I'm losing a good chunk of Saturday. So, yeah, I don't think I'm going to make my 10,000 words. Because I can make 10,000 words, but it all has to line up. I mean, I've got to have time. Because when I'm cranking, I'm somewhere, if I'm focused and cranking, I'm somewhere around 300 to 500 words an hour, and that does not include editing time. So to get to 10,000 words, I need at least 20 hours, plus I have to have editing time. So you're probably looking at 25-26, and you just can't have two-hour chunks be taken out of your week here and there and everywhere and make that happen. It's okay. It's okay. I'm actually at a spot right now where I have this kind of spot every time I start a new book. Sometimes it's the first chapter, getting started with the first chapter. It's hard to just get it going and get it going in the right tone. I got the first chapter done pretty easily this time, and then I started into the second chapter, and I thought, oh, I can do better. And then I thought, oh, I can do better. I thought, Oh, I can do better. And I'm just not... I'm working on the first part of the second chapter, and I've already kind of restructured twice, and it's still not quite... It's just not there. You know, it hasn't sat down right. And I haven't quite gotten the right perspective. So... there's not enough flavor in it, you know. It's just not, it's not enough. So I gotta beef that up a little bit. It should have funny spots in it. I mean, it should, I know I laugh at my own stuff, but it's making me grin at this point, but it should be laugh out loud funny. Because I love the characters that I'm writing about in this section, and they do funny things. So, it's just, it's not quite there. I'll get it. It's just going to take some time. So, honestly, if I don't get anything else done this week besides getting that restructured and then getting a little bit in the way into chapter 3, I have most of chapter 2 already written. And the end of chapter 2 is either already written or I know what goes there, and there's a little bit of slapstick there, and so that should go in pretty quickly. So I think that'll be okay. So, you know, I think I'm already closing in on 5,000 words if I haven't already crested 5,000 words. So, you know, if through the rest of the week I can get another 2,500 words in, it'll be fine, even though... I was talking to my wife, and she said, yeah, on Saturday, we're not going to be doing much. I think we should be home by 3 in the afternoon. And I just looked at her. But that seemed quick to her, so that's fine. It's fine. It'll be fine. It'll all be fine. We'll get there. Step at a time. Step at a time, step at a time. Worst case scenario, I will take another writing vacation. Because there is a split week coming up between May and June, I think. Which would work out just about right. Because I could... I'm going to hit Memorial Day weekend anyways. And then the rest of that week, I could just stay at home and write. And then by that time, I should have all the beta reader input in, and then I could just turn around and start doing the production version of book 4, and we'll be good. And that's just a lot of grunt work. It's just getting all the edits in and tweaking the cover and making all the different versions. And so that's easy work. So we'll see. We'll see. But goes well. I almost did not have a topic today. Because I ran sound last night at church, I actually got into work a little early so that I could get back to the church and have some writing time, but I was struggling with this section, so basically all I did is took another run at this section. Ended up with only about 300 words as opposed to 750 words, and then when I got home from church, I had finances to do, and I was pretty blitzed by the time I got to that point. And I had a choice of either working on a podcast topic or just going back to writing. So I went back to writing and tried to get a little more done on the writing since I was behind. And so I woke up this morning and I thought, well, I'm just winging it. Just talk about what's going on, and what I've talked about with friends, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then I came up this morning and I quit exercising a little early, and then I thought, you know, you've got a little bit of time. Why don't you look back through your topic list and just see what you got? So I looked through and I went, oh yeah, I read that article, which is a pretty interesting article. And it goes along with the whole AI thing that I think I mentioned several weeks ago, the AlphaGo. It's Google's program that can play the Asian game Go. I don't know who invented it, but very complex game, very difficult for humans, and thus far it's been impossible for computers to even come close to being able to beat humans in it. And, you know, Google has a new thing, AlphaGo, and in fact it played like the number 3 rated player in the world and actually beat him. Handily beat him. I think out of the 5-game series, if I remember right, the artificial intelligence, AlphaGo, it won the first 3 games, which meant it technically won the match. They kept playing. I think the human won the 4th round, and then AlphaGo won the 5th. So I think that's what happened. But anyways, I felt bad for the guy, because before, he was like, oh, yeah, I'm not going to have any trouble beating this computer. And I thought, buddy, you know, you should just say, we'll see how it goes. And then, you know, he, of course, had egg on his face and had to come out and, you know, say, wow, I didn't really expect this thing to be able to beat me. And it did, and blah, blah, blah. Humility. Humility is always good. So there are a lot of advances that are happening in artificial intelligence. There's no question about that. But there was an article that came out that was pretty interesting last week or the week before. A lot of people have been picking it up. And that is that when it comes to figuring out things in quantum mechanics, for instance, constructing a quantum computer, which everybody says is going to be the bomb when it actually gets here, you know, that it's going to be just amazing with what it can do. Well, in order to get to what they're talking about, you have to be able to manipulate things in quantum states, and that can get very tricky. You have to calculate just exactly where you want to be. And for computers, that basically means running all the possibilities and going from there. And so there was a team that thought, well, is there another way to go about this? And what they did, and they published the findings in the journal Nature, that they wondered if instead of just having computers just crunch the numbers and churn and churn and churn and churn, which I think they had already decided that it was going to take a really long time to get the solutions, they decided, you know what, why don't we go after this another way? Because they were looking for the right balance of how much force and pressure to apply and all of this on trying to keep these quantum things in the right spot. And so what they did, they were trying to deal with the pesky problem of moving atoms around without wrecking the information they contained. I'm quoting from the article. The scientists suspended them in light crystals and then would use optical tweezers to move them around, which is a very cool thing. They use lasers. It's very cool. But there's a problem. Those atoms easily lose the information they carry. So if you try to move them too fast, you know, they lose their information. But if you wait too long, then they lose the information too. So you gotta have just kind of the right approach when it comes to things. So they said, so researchers have to rely on powerful computers to try and find tactics allowing them to move the atom at the Goldilocks pace, neither too fast or too slow. The problem is that computers aren't really up to this complex task. If you give a computer this task, it will try to find the answer by checking every single possible solution. A gargantuan task that it would never finish on time. So they decided what they'd do is they would build a video game. I don't know how they built this thing, but somehow they built this thing that could simulate these problems And then they turned a bunch of gamers loose on it, and they said, okay, find the best way to do this, to move these atoms around. And to their great surprise, these humans did it far faster than they were experiencing, that they expected, and their solutions worked. So they said in here, the research has designed a game platform called Quantum Moves. In one of the games called Bring Water Home, players are asked to transport a moving water-like wave to a target area as fast as possible without spilling it. They found that the players developed solutions that were far more effective than their computer could. And they did so at speeds that, according to the researchers' computer simulation, they thought impossible. So, in this platform called Quantum Moves, video game players actually help solve problems related to quantum mechanics. And they said these video gamers, they would come up with solutions that drew upon what the researcher called a perfect mixture of classical mechanics as well as quantum mechanics, even though they're two very different ways of describing the world. On the classical side, accelerating an object down a steep slope will get it to move faster. On the quantum side, if a particle knocks a barrier enough times, it can eventually appear on the other side. Yes, that is true quantum mechanics. It's called tunneling. Which, every time I read that, I always think about Jesus just appearing places. Just appearing places. And in fact, if you could operate in the macro world on a quantum level, you could just walk right through walls. That's neither here nor there. What the researcher said was the players somehow have some sort of intuition for this research problem that we didn't imagine you could use intuition for, Sharon says. But placing it in this context of a game enabled humans to sort of look through the complexity of all that quantum shmomtum that we talk about. That's very interesting to me. I said, whether the author's method will be applicable, someone else said, whether the author's method will be applicable to a wide range of problems in quantum physics is currently an open question. But because we are on the verge of a new era in quantum technologies, this approach is definitely worth pursuing. And the researcher said that these findings also raise questions about human intuition, how it does what it does, and whether it's possible to replicate this in intelligence. And this was his explanation, the main researcher. He says, what I think is that we are inherently survivors. Survival and adaptation are just built into our being. In this ever-changing world, we will always adapt to it. So his explanation is, well, we've got, I'm sure, billions or millions of years that we've adapted, and we've gotten really good at that, and so we have this instinctive feeling for how we do things. And who knows? Maybe that's true. Maybe there's another solution. Maybe there's something else going on here. I was having breakfast with a buddy. Was it the last week? I think it was last week. And we were talking about hearing the voice of God, what that feels like. And I mentioned to him the same thing I've mentioned on this podcast multiple times. It really feels like I have like a cheat sheet. Someone described it to me as a cheat sheet. And that's pretty good. Except it's a cheat sheet that only shows up at just the right time. You know, you're struggling with a problem. Much like I'm struggling with the problem of this second chapter. How to get this second chapter going. But I have no idea or I have no doubt that when the right moment comes, the right thing will appear for this chapter. I have no doubt about that. It'll appear. It'll just either flash into my brain or it will just roll out of my fingers. Because I've seen it do that long enough that I know if I just keep putting words on the page, eventually something will run out of my fingers. So, you know, that's going to happen. Now, where does that come from? Well, you can say, I'm backing into my garage. You can say, well, it's coming from way down in your subconscious, and that's where creativity comes from, and blah, 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 and it pops into your unconscious or your conscious mind, and it just feels like it feels like it's coming from someplace else because it's, I didn't quite get straight here. Let me straighten this up. Feels like it's coming from somewhere else, and so, you know, that's why it feels like someone else is talking to you, but it's not really someone else talking to you. And I say, okay, well, that's fine for you if you want to go think about it that way. You know, but for me, I've had too many things happen that it's really hard for me to say that all those things have come out of me. Because I've mentioned this before, I've had things come out of my fingers that I didn't know what they mean. That's a little weird. You know, when I'm typing along, one in particular, he had the look of one perpetually caught between the twin posteriors of existence. Now, that makes me laugh. I love that statement. But it took me a week to figure out what it meant. And I'm the guy who wrote it. There's things like that that just, it doesn't feel like it could possibly be from me. And I happen to think that Jesus is talking to everybody all the time. And so when I read stories about quantum mechanics and about humans that are performing better than computers say they should, and they're coming up with these solutions, I'm like, yeah, Jesus is talking to them. That's what's going on. Jesus is talking to them. And that's why it's working out. You know, and then the question will be, can we ever make computers do that? Well, Jesus might talk to computers as well. That, you know, might happen. Or there might be some parallel mechanism that might be similar to that. I won't ever say that's not ever going to happen. But I just have a really hard time with all the experiences that I've had in my life saying that all of those whispers, all of those cheat sheets that I've really had the privilege to be part of, that all of that was just dredged up from my subconscious somewhere. There's just been too many things. And I really think that's what's going on when we reach solutions, when we reach answers out of these glorious leaps that happen inside of our brains. I think Jesus is just going, nudge over there. Oh, over there. Got it. Thanks. Life is good. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.